it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Ian Rappaport on NFL Network this morning.
Kyle Shanahan telling reporters yesterday that Brock Purdy is a long shot to play this week. It could be a multiple week injury. My understanding is that Brock Purdy is out 2 to 5 weeks. 2 to 5 weeks for Brock Purdy with what is essentially a variant of turf toe. It is a ligament injury that affects the bottom of his foot. Call it turf toe if you want. That's basically what Kyle Shanahan has said. But 2 to 5 weeks for Brock Purdy, which would put him out at least the Saints game this week, the Cardinals game next week, and then we'll see. It is swollen. It is irritated. No one knows how it's going to react, but certainly it seems like the 49ers are looking at probably 2 starts for Mac Jones, their backup quarterback, and maybe more. And it's been tough early on for the 49ers, guys. I mean, obviously, you had the Christian McCaffrey minor injury to start out week one. He ended up playing. You have George Kittle on IR with a hamstring injury, another battery of injury for the 49ers. A lot of challenges early on.
Okay, so that last part, obviously, is well-traveled territory for 49er fans. Maybe this will do a better job of sort of explaining where I am on this. I found this to be interesting because, as you've said, okay, Brock Purdy is out, but they've got an experienced backup.
Right.
They brought in for this situation.
He'll be making his 50th career start.
Okay. How come at the summit last week, everybody freaked out when Christian McCaffrey was thought to be hurt?
Because you have a backup who has never played in the system before, and you don't know if he is going to actually be able to do what Christian McCaffrey does.
His backup has also never played in the system before.
Correct.
So this is kind of
McCaffrey's backup is
a very
probably
good player.
Yeah, we'll see.
Better at his position than Mac is at his.
That's
sure.
To be determined. You know, I think that you know, Brian Robinson got basically traded for a song by the team that had him, and now he comes here and he's a backup. Mac Jones was now on his fourth team, and he's also a backup.
It's interesting to me because the comp is right there for everybody. All of the things that you've kind of said are why you wouldn't panic, and I don't want to speak for you. Maybe you weren't panicked last week, but
no, not,
it was
not at all.
Very, very clear that the audience we were talking to, and even a lot of our brethren here, the idea of Christian being hurt, the calf injury, the breaking news sounder, the moan that came over the crowd was very much, oh my God, this is a disaster. Now, a week later, the exact same thing happens, but it's not Christian, it's the quarterback, and the response seems to be, well, we're fine.
And not a disaster.
I just, like, and again, I don't want to speak for how you felt about Christian.
It's two different things,
but
though.
But that's what I'm observing that is, in my mind, is off course as far as a reaction. Because
it's two different things. One is a calf, which he already had a calf last year, and so you're thinking calf, Achilles, season over.
So you're thinking
this
season.
This is turf toe.
You're thinking season.
I think we all were.
Oh,
I mean,
I wasn't.
I was thinking he is not practicing. He's got a calf. And it's like, oh, Schmidt, this could be the same thing as last year, bilateral tendonitis. And he missed half the year because of that. And Brock Purdy has turf toe. And it's going to be 2 to 5 weeks. It might be fewer than two. It might be more than five. We don't know what it's going to be. Just because Ian Rappaport reports what he does, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how bad the toe is. Nobody knows. Brock might be better in 8 days. He might be out for 8 weeks. It'll probably be somewhere in between. So we don't know. My panic level with McCaffrey was higher because of the nature of the injury and the fact that because it's his calf, it could be the Achilles, and oh my goodness, it could be the whole year. It could be his career.
That's fair. I certainly was not thinking of that. Like, we had to at least get some more information before I was thinking about it being the entire year. Again, the very next day, he trotted out onto the practice field with his helmet. So, like, to me, this all caps text that just came through on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line is how I feel. Maybe not for you, but for a lot of people. 650 texting in all caps. Because fans don't really have faith in Purdy and think he's a difference maker. And so I won't speak for you, but I do feel that. The panic level of the idea of Christian being out hit people as a way, way bigger blow than the idea of Brock Purdy missing time. There are other aspects of this. I like your point. Maybe the Christian thing felt like, oh God, he's never going to play again. Also, at that time, the Niners were 0-0. Now they're 1-0. That's different. They've got a game in hand, a bird in hand. Some people think road division wins are worth two. So our perspective is always changing. But I do think it's also fair for me to point out what I'm pointing out. I started off the show by saying, tell me you don't actually really think Brock Purdy's a great quarterback without telling me that you don't actually think Brock Purdy's a great quarterback. I feel that today.
Well, you're putting those thoughts into other people's head. And
no, I'm responding to what I'm hearing.
Well, you're responding to what you're hearing by putting thoughts in other people's head, because I don't think any different about Brock Purdy. My whole opinion is based on Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. I still think Brock is really good. Mac is not as good as Brock Purdy. The fact that I am not that disheveled or that moved by the fact that Brock is going to be out doesn't have a lot to do with my feelings about Brock Purdy.
Well, that's fine, and you're one person, and I'm not directing this all at you by any stretch. You just spoke to what it was last week when you heard the Christian thing. From what I heard from people I talked to last week, this week, I think there is a very clear difference in panic level, and I would actually suggest to you that, and I think we talked about this, to me, a Brock Purdy-Brian Robinson combo, I would take over a Mac Jones-Christian McCaffrey combo, if needed over a long period of time, every single day of the week.
Yeah, not
every
me.
Every day of the week.
Not me.
I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I think it's close, but you know, you look at week one, who was the more impactful player, McCaffrey or Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy, not even close.
Christian McCaffrey, he had 31 touches, and he, without George Kittle, he became the majority of the offense. And
the
offensive line didn't create a lot of holes, and he was able to go out there and make it happen.
He averaged 3 yards a carry.
Right. And
Brock Purdy hit him for 9 balls with the highest pressure rate that he's ever faced in his career.
And a lot of those were, you know, check downs and shorter throws, and McCaffrey was able to make a lot out of it. So,
and McCaffrey totally bottled up on the final drive.
And you won't have Brock Purdy in this game, and you most likely will have Christian McCaffrey, you know, the entirety of the game.
Yeah.
And you're going to be leaning on McCaffrey now with Brock Purdy out even more than you did last week when you gave him 31 touches.
Yeah, well, I mean, the touch thing, again, that has to do with time of possession and so many different things. But I understand what the stats of it were. But if you really dive deep into what the Niners needed when they were down with 3 minutes to go, Christian barely did anything on that drive. Brock Purdy brought them down the field. He hit Ricky Pearsall. He hit Tonjes a couple of times.
Three times.
Then Christian averaged 3 yards a carry. Christian had a nice game. It helped fantasy teams if you were in a PPR. Christian was not amazing, and Brock was not amazing. But what happened in the end of the game, like to me, was, yeah, I would much rather have the quarterback. I'm always going to rather have
the
quarterback.
Yeah. And what happened at the end of the game, you said it yourself, was
a break.
You called it luck. In, you know,
yeah, they got a lucky break.
Greg Cosell called it luck until I had to correct him that it wasn't luck. And he agreed that luck was probably the bad choice of words, so you know, you call it luck, and then you lean on Brock Purdy. He basically threw the ball mostly up for grabs on that play.
Tonjes
made a play.
Not a good idea.
And if you look at the end of the first half, he made the exact same throw, which, I mean, that thing could have been intercepted. It was a third down play.
Which one?
The end of the first half.
Okay.
He threw the same ball. He threw it, a lob ball up for grabs into the corner. Nobody caught it. You had two defenders running for it.
Oh, I remember that one.
And then Jake Moody came out and missed the field goal right after
that. It was out of reach.
But it
was out of reach.
But it wasn't a throw it away out of bounds.
No, it didn't get out of bounds.
It was a throw it away.
I do remember.
Like, that was a little bit of a scary throw, and it was almost the same throw as the Tonjes one that he caught.
Like, do y'all think Christian is more important to this offense than Brock? I mean, to me, like, we can get into that if you want. Good Lord. I mean, if this was, again, fair point that you make about the Christian feeling might have been that it was going to be like season ending, career ending, all of the thoughts that went through our head last week, that's fair. But if you told me right now, Christian's out 2 weeks or Brock is out 2 weeks, which one would you take? Good Lord. I'd trade Christian for Brock for 2 weeks right now in a heartbeat. In a second. Every time.
Yeah, not me.
Okay.
Especially okay. In this situation where you've got Mac Jones, a guy who I think can step in and be more of a suitable backup. And yeah, if you have Brian Robinson.
Running back room too.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you got Brian Robinson, who you're just going to lean on him for 31 touches, or you're going to go to Isaac Garendo, who got no offensive snaps.
All of them.
To me, yeah, that's a bigger step down than going to Mac Jones, a guy who, okay. You know, he's got, this will be his 50th start as a quarterback, a guy who's actually been out there and done it. And whether or not Shanahan had a crush on him in the draft or not, he's a guy who they clearly liked this offseason.
He liked him.
And they liked him in March when they rushed out in the free agent market and gave him a pretty good size contract for a backup quarterback.
Let's go to John and Benicia. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm going to have to be with Diddley on this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that in terms of a safety valve, and I mean, Christian McCaffrey's your security blanket. And to me, you don't replace the binky. I mean, you can buy another toy, and that's Purdy. But I think what's going to be really interesting is that Diddley, if what you're saying comes true over the next, let's say he's out 3 or 4 games, and Mac looks impressive, how much are we going to regret giving away that $50 million?
That probably not at all.
John, what I find interesting is the fact that you're even asking that question already. And that's what I'm trying to sort of say today without it sounding like I'm being offensive. And thank you, John, to Mac Jones. But do you notice that? Like, we're already asking, could Mac Jones take the job? But he hadn't even taken a snap yet.
Right, he's not taking the job. If he's out 5 weeks and he goes 5-0 and the Niners are 6-0 and Brock Purdy's toe is finally all better and the shoulder's better, he starts.
Of course he
starts
does.
The next game. So
of course.
I don't think that so you're going to get into regret. Now, if Brock Purdy comes back and they immediately lose 4 in a row, and you know we're going to be doing a ton of radio about Mac or Brock, Mac, but I don't think the team is anywhere close or will be anywhere close to regret of the contract that hasn't even kicked in yet.
Right. If that happens, I'm just going to become a Warriors correspondent and somebody else can do this with you. I don't even want it. That scenario you just played out, that's a nightmare.
Yeah,
a nightmare, and it's not going to happen. But anyway, do you see, like that? That's what I'm getting at. And if that's how you feel about Brock, that's how you feel about Brock. But the idea that any fan with a 1-0 football team and the new contract in hand, with a turf toe injury now here, their head would already go to, hey, if Mac Jones wins the next 3 or 4 games, do you regret the contract? To me, you have to at least admit, if you're one of the people who feels that way, you have to admit you're not 100% sold yet on Brock. And that's okay.
You can be sold on him, but you can also be thinking that you gave him too much money.
Yeah.
And I guess that...
You can think that.
Because you gave him $53 million, which starts next year. He's only making $9 million this year, but next year when that $53 million kicks in, you're going to have to make some roster moves probably, and you did this past offseason, moves that you had to make because you can't afford guys. And you did that with Banks, a guard who you probably would have liked to keep, and you couldn't keep him because he was making too much money. He got a free agent deal that you couldn't afford, and so he's gone. So the money that you have to pay Brock, that becomes more of a regrettable thing next year.
Yeah, but I we're 0 games into the era of him not playing and already asking the question, and that to me, there's stuff tucked in there. That's all.
There's time for that on Monday. Well, I mean, Mac goes to New Orleans and they win, 24-13, and Mac throws for 280 and 2 touchdowns. People are going to call in on Monday and say, eh.
It's exactly what Brock just did. He just threw for 280 and 2 touchdowns.
And 2 interceptions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Here's one that I would love to address real quick. We'll keep going on the phones. Would you swap out Christian and Brock if you could? I sure would. But this text just came in, 925. And there's no way for me to prove this the same way there's no way to prove your point. But I think it's a fun discussion. The text says, we had Brock every game last year and no McCaffrey. And how'd that work out? Well, All I can do is give you my opinion on how it would have worked out. And I would say that if it had been Christian, if Christian had played last year, I still...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I still think they're 6-11, and here's why. First of all, they had the leading rusher in the NFL while they were about two-thirds of the way through the season. They had the leading rusher in the NFL. So it's not like the person filling in for Christian went out there and was awful. And I will continue to stand on any soapbox I can find to tell you that the Niners were 6-11 last year because they could not stop the run on defense. That was their number one problem, and Christian would not have fixed that. So that's kind of where I sit, and that's why, yeah, Mac is in and Brock are in a better spot this year, it seems, than anybody would have been last year. I also think we need to pause with the whole, like, the Niners have a great defense. Like, we have too many opinions that are based on 1 week right now.
Right,
I have no idea.
Opponent, too.
I have no idea who these teams are. I don't know that the Saints suck out loud.
Well, we'll
I
see
think they do.
What Seattle's wow. like at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, they don't play Seattle again until week 18, which is kind of a weird bookend of the schedule. But Seattle might not be very good, and they might be still figuring out how to run the ball. And I think they changed out their entire offensive line, or almost the entirety of their offensive line.
And,
so,
and they have a defensive head coach.
Right, so week one is probably not going to be indicative of who they're going to be come week 18, and we'll find that out. And New Orleans might be better than we think, and they're certainly going to try to run the ball with Kamara. We know that.
Travis in San Jose is next. Hi, Travis. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
We're fantastic, Travis. How are you?
Day in San Jose, going to take my kid to First Tee Golf, but just wanted to chime in.
Let's go.
You guys know, you know, it's really about Kyle Shanahan, guys. Nothing to worry about. You got Brock Purdy a couple days out. You got Christian McCaffrey, but, you know, stop going around in circles because it's just going to be about Kyle Shanahan and X's and O's.
So, Travis, I'm down with that opinion because you're admitting sort of like the two options that I threw out there. You're saying that you think Kyle Shanahan is an absolutely elite coach. Is that fair?
Yes.
All right. So then we're good here. Again, that's all. Travis, thank you very much. That's all I said. For those of you who see a Brock Purdy 2 to 5 week injury, and you shrug your shoulders and you go, eh. I believe you're saying one of two things, and you get to pick which one. You either really don't think Brock is all that. By the way, that's fine. You can think that. A lot of people do. Or you're saying Kyle Shanahan is uber elite.
Or
and you can also say
you're
that.
Saying that Mac Jones is not as bad as everyone thinks. I think that's the third part that... And you keep leaving that out because you don't think...
I don't buy that one.
Right. That's what I'm... Well, you don't have to buy it. It's my opinion. So I'm not trying to sell it to you, and I don't need you to purchase it. It's my opinion that Mac Jones is better than you think, and the combination of Kyle and Mac is good enough to where, I'm not super panicked over the fact they don't have Brock Purdy.
But again, you combine it with Kyle. That's
my point.
Like,
you combine everything with Kyle.
What evidence do you have?
Look at Jimmy Garoppolo without Kyle.
Right.
He stinks.
Right.
He was great with Kyle. He stunk when he didn't have Kyle. So everything connects with Kyle.
So then you are picking one of my options, which is Kyle is uber elite.
The third option, part of it, is Mac Jones. Because when you had Josh Dobbs, I didn't feel this way.
What's the evidence?
When you had Brandon Allen, I didn't feel this way.
I want to explore that. There's no evidence.
He's never played a real game with Kyle Shanahan. Okay, so there's no evidence.
So, but your point was that you think Mac is not as bad as others
think. That's right.
Based on?
What I've seen. Watching him play football.
Okay.
Watching Mac Jones. And the fact that Kyle Shanahan either reportedly wanted to draft him or didn't want to draft him. One thing I do know, they went out on the first day of free agency and gave him guaranteed money to be the backup, which tells me that Kyle Shanahan likes him. Whether or not he wanted to draft him in 2021, that to me is water under the bridge. I don't even care.
He likes him.
I know he likes him because they just gave him guaranteed money.
They liked him then, too.
They gave him $5 million guaranteed to be the backup. Yeah. So that tells me that Kyle thinks that he is a good enough quarterback to be QB2. So that is the evidence.
I've always agreed with you that Mac Jones is a high-level backup.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.